The reason I, in my introduction that I contrapose the two concepts of conspiracy as alleged against the strikers and conspiracy as you allege against the government, yeah, is that in the one case, the case of the strikers, all of the particulars of sedition and conspiracy were committed at open public meetings by the strikers.
The Crown's contention was that it can be, that can be done openly.
A conspiracy can be...
they stressed that.
Yeah.
Well, my contention was there was a conspiracy on the other side. It wasn't half so open.
But it was conspiracy in what form? As you point out...
The Citizens' Committee under Andrews prevented certain firms in Winnipeg making an approach for a settlement, if you remember.
All right.
They were not permitted to make any move whatever.
That's a very interesting point, and we might as well just elaborate on that, right, while you've made it. That the word came to Ottawa at a certain point in the strike that the metal trades employers were prepared to settle.
Yeah, that's right.
And they got an urgent telegram, which was secret until 1926, back from Ottawa, under no conditions must they settle.
And who signed the telegram?
A man named Arthur Meehan. Have you heard of him?
Yes, little Arthur. As flat a mentality as the region that produced him, I said. No relieving feature, you know. And listen, kids. Here was a cranium that contained no idea later than 1862. That was Mr. Arthur Meehan. Later, he came into New Westminster, along with Mackenzie King. In an election, I ran there, you know, at the same time. And still the same, little Arthur. No, there's no foresight.
Well, in your address, you speak about him having the fine Italian hand to do what?
To draft the Immigration Act, the deportation laws. And they went through the two houses, didn't they, in 20 minutes each? And it takes them 6 months to debate a question as to whether or not they should now raise, for instance, widows' pensions or something like that. It takes a long time to do those little things. But in 20 minutes in each house, they put through that legislation. And they arrested those boys that they put into Stony Mountain before the legislation was passed. Now, you make an arrest first, and then you write the law ratifying it. That is what was done. They were in a panic.
What were they in such a panic about? What were they in such a panic about?
Oh, everything. The Russian Revolution had taken place. There's all the post-war problems coming up. And workers were being laid off because the war industries were closing down. They were in a panic.
Do you think the political position of the union government was already evident to them to be very weak? That they, quite apart from the strike itself, the union government seemed to be collapsing at the time that it took all of these positions. Was that your impression?
Yeah. That's correct. What I said in that speech, the government came into power by a peculiar franchise in which no female person, I think that's the term they use, you know, for a lady. No female person had the franchise until then. And then only such females as could prove that they were related to someone in the armed forces. And since my wife had three brothers in England, all overseas, she got a vote. That was one good thing about it.
Now, the general heading...
Back to your question in full now.
Yeah.
Where you,
well, the reason I'm asking that question is because this was the Union government. It consisted of conservatives and liberals.
Yes.
And they were able to pilot the Immigration Act amendments through in 40 minutes.
That's right.
How did that happen? I mean, how did they get away with that? Was public opinion so totally opposed to the strike that they were able to do such a thing?
No. They did it out of sheer panic. They were in a hurry to get it passed. Now, you take the Commons and the Senate. I almost missed the term. I almost said House of Lords. You know, they put this thing through in 20 minutes each house, did you say?
And it was unanimous. It could only get through in that time by the unanimous vote.
Yeah.
In other words, there was not one member of Parliament that stood up at that point to call a halt to this procedure.
And that's why I said in the speech, a government that was put into power by a wartimes election act and a number of women who had since repented. Because these were the women who held the vote. If they had a husband or a son who were overseas, they had a vote. Other women didn't. That was the first move to extend the franchise to what is called the weaker sex, you know? As though they're not human beings. That's the point. It's a philosophical point. Not until that time in Canada was a woman looked upon as a human being.
Undoubtedly, Meehan and the others in the House of Commons thought they had public support.
When people get into a panic, they don't know. And they were in a panic. You tell that. They were scared of shadows. And then, of course, the Russian Revolution hung over everything.
Yes, what was this? Your attitude to the Russian Revolution at that time?
It happened. It's a matter of history. That it has gone the way it has gone only proves my point at the time, that they had to go through various stages of development before they would arrive at where they said they were when they started. They haven't got there yet.